I have a question for you. How many of you, I mean, genuinely, really miss it when you miss a Sunday or a service like this? You know, it's just like, I just want to be there so bad, and I can't be there, and you miss it. And, you know, I want to tell you, multiply that times 10 theatrics.
You would have never seen that.
I would have never seen it.
If you weren't here.
I'm just glad I didn't feel it. Multiply that feeling times 10 is what a pastor feels when he wants to be here and can't be here. And tonight, Pastor Aaron and his family really, really wanted to be here. And they can't be here. And they're like, but I want to be here so much. And many of you know that Pastor Aaron had it on his heart to do a two-part Christmas message. And so this was going to be part two. But he's not here to give part two. Why is that? Well, earlier this week, some of the family started getting some kind of cold symptoms, and they were suspicious, so they isolated, and they tested, and lo and behold, they tested positive. So they are at home, and they are doing well, praise God. The symptoms are all mild, so everybody's doing well, but in concern for everyone. They're not going to come, obviously. So they're isolating, and they are just really thankful that it is mild. And I wanted to share with you a little something that he wrote kind of for us tonight. He said, "We're trusting God and know that he is in control. This is just part of living in a fallen world. And we know that a lot of you have already had to deal with this, and some in even more of a serious way than others. We're all learning to be flexible, aren't we? And trusting God in new ways through this time. And we're going to be okay, but of course we wanted to be responsible and not risk spreading this to anyone. So we'll be laying low and staying away for a bit, but we'll be back soon." And he wanted to tell you Merry Christmas and thank you so much, because he knows you're going to be praying for them. They also they're good. They don't need any food, so don't, ask them. I know you probably got tamales you want to give them or whatever. Or maybe you got leftover sweets after tomorrow's celebrations. No, they're good. They don't need that. But they certainly wish they were here worshiping together with us. But they are doing the next best thing. Hello from everyone. They're on the live stream. And so they're tuning in with us, and he's able to check it out like some of you have during these last 2 years on the live stream. So let's just pray for them right now and pray for the message this evening. Heavenly Father, we do lift up our precious pastor and his family, Lord. We thank you so much for them. And Lord, we're reminded during times like this that we all, from our pastor to the very least of us, Lord, we all are dependent upon you. We all need you daily. Father, we thank you that you are faithful to every one of us, and that you are faithful to Pastor Aaron, to Johanna, to the kids, Lord. And Lord, I pray that during this time of cloistering together as a family, that you'll bring blessings to that household, Lord. I know that it's disappointing to have your Christmas plans all turned upside down, but Lord, I pray that you would bring blessings to them in spite of it. And Lord, I thank you that we have the privilege of being prayerful for one another, holding one another up in prayer. And Lord, we come and we gather here to learn your word, to hear your word, and to be fed this night to focus on Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us through the Christmas passage this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and I wanted to read the Christmas story to us. Many of us are familiar with this. I really wanted Linus to come and read it today, but I couldn't quite get him, so I'm the next best thing you've got tonight. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with his wife Mary, his betrothed wife, rather, and who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and lay him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So tonight, I want to talk about God's unique gift. God's unique gift. Think for a moment of all the unique gifts that perhaps you have received over the years, or perhaps a unique gift that you have given to someone in the past. You know, there's a lot of unique gifts out there. One of my favorite, I call it the babysitting ball, is this thing here that you just roll around. Wouldn't that be cool? Talk about walking on water. That's the next best thing. You know, if you're Peter, you'd want a babysitting ball so you could just have your kids walk on water just like you did with Jesus. That would be fun. But most gifts, if you think about them, they're not truly unique. We would call that perhaps a unique gift, but it's not truly unique, because unique is being the only one of its kind, unlike anything else. The closest thing that I've ever given as a gift that I can think of is that for my dad's 60th birthday party, 60th birthday year, I decided for his birthday gift that I was going to make a peacock out of $61 bills. So it is unique. It is one of a kind, okay? And fortunately, we got a picture of it, because eventually somebody got into the peacock and spent all the money. But anyway, we did get a Polaroid picture there. That's an old picture. But it was a labor of love, and it obviously was unique, and it was a lot of fun to do, and obviously he never guessed that gift before he got it. But today I want to talk about God's unique gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and I want to explore with you some of the reasons why this gift of God in Jesus Christ coming into our world, why is it so unique? Well, first of all, God's gift is unique because of who salvation is for. Did you notice in verse 10? Look at that with me. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people.'" So God's gift is unique because it's for all people. wasn't just for good people. It wasn't just for bad people. It wasn't for white people, black people, brown people, yellow people, and purple people. It wasn't for just Jewish people. It wasn't just for Gentiles. God's gift is for everyone, no matter how old or young you are. And why? Because all people need Jesus. Everyone needs him. The Bible says we have all sinned, that we have all fallen short of God's standard of righteousness and his glory. Christmas reaffirms the truth of the most famous Bible verse of all time, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if you think about it, there is no other gift on earth quite like it. That's why it's unique. Yeah, there is no gift like it that's to all people. You know, health is not a gift that all people are able to participate in. Riches is not a gift that all people are able to enjoy. Even the basic elements and needs of life, like air, food, water, clothing, these are all wonderful gifts, but not all enjoy these gifts, and they can be taken away from them by man. Even in our Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not all enjoy that. So salvation is unique, as the angels tell us, because salvation is God's gift to all people. And it doesn't matter who you are. God has given you a gift, and that's Jesus Christ. Secondly, God's gift is unique because of where salvation is found. Where salvation is found. We look at that in verse 11 and 12. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." So God's gift of salvation is found on earth. That's where it was found, and that's unique. You know, we might have thought that salvation would be found way up in heaven somewhere, but to be found on earth, certainly we're not deserving of such a gift. After all, earth is where eternal life was lost. This is where sin began, and this is where the gift of God is to be found? Wow. But wait, there's more. Salvation wasn't found in a big, famous city on this earth. No, indeed, it was found in a small, seemingly insignificant little town called Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, if you and I were playing hide-and-go-seek back in the days when Jesus was born, and we were seeking out where baby Jesus was going to be born, where would we find him? Well, we would probably be looking, what, in the temple? That's where we might look. Or maybe in King Herod's palace, or maybe even in the high priest Caiaphas' house. But in Bethlehem? No, I don't think any of us would look there for baby Jesus. And look how God wrapped this precious little present of his. Verse 12, "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Wrapped in humility, in human flesh, not with ribbons and bows like we adorn our Christmas packages. It would not be unusual, though, to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, but to find God's Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When you and I give a gift, wrapping's kind of important, isn't it? Yeah, we want it to look really good because usually the outside wrapping kind of promises us of something good is inside of this package, right? Remember when you woke up on Christmas morning and there was a Christmas stocking for you? And you looked at that stocking the night before and it was just flat. There was nothing in it. And all of a sudden you wake up on Christmas morning and that stocking is bulging fat. It's pregnant with child and ready to bear, right? And so it's got so many things in it, they're stuffing out of the top. And you think, whoa, this is the coolest thing. How many of you like a stocking is really, Christmas stocking is really important to you when you're a kid? Any of you? Yeah. A lot of people, it's like really, really important to them. For me, it wasn't, because it was always a letdown. Yeah, it looked good on the outside. When I came down, my stocking was fat. It was overflowing with stuff. But what did it have? I don't know about you, but my stocking had things like a toothbrush, toothpaste, dental floss. Think about this. I am a 12-year-old boy. And you're giving me what? Little bottles of shampoo and conditioner that came from some hotel? Are you serious? And the worst was when I got an apple or an orange. You're talking precious real estate in my stocking wasted with a big old apple or an orange. Are you kidding? And a few little candies sprinkled without, maybe a candy cane. It was a disappointment. One year, though, it was a particular disappointment. And I will not say that I didn't deserve it. But I did. I got a packet of salt in my stocking. And my parents told me if they could have found a lump of coal in Southern California, that's what I would have got. That tells you what I was like as a junior high kid. So God's gift comes to all people. It's unique because all people need it and all people can receive it. And God's gift is unique in that it's found in the most unsuspecting places. A place like Bethlehem, lying in a manger, an animal feeding trough, and wrapped in swaddling cloths. And lastly, God's gift is unique because his gift of salvation is unique because of where it came from. Where it came from. It came from heaven. Look at verse 13 with me. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God's gift came down from heaven and it was confirmed for in two miraculous ways, heavenly ways, if you will, that it was a heavenly gift, a gift from our Heavenly Father above. A star and with angels. Lots of angels, right? They confirmed that this was truly a gift from God. Heaven. Think about heaven. Heaven. Wow. Isn't that a fitting place for salvation to come from? It would originate there? Yeah. No wonder so many people seem to want to get to heaven. Ask anyone how to get there, though, and you're going to hear a whole lot of different answers. This dilemma about getting to heaven where the gift of God originated is illustrated really wonderfully in the testimony of Martin Luther. Many of you might know his story. He was a Roman Catholic monk, and he was very devout. But he came to understand that there are two righteousness that man will want to obtain. One is many are seeking the righteousness that comes through man, the righteousness of man. Another righteousness, though, and the righteousness we need is the righteousness of God. And Martin Luther talks about it, and he uses an analogy for us, and he talks about his religious observances, how he crawled upstairs on his knees thinking somehow he would please God in that way, his long prayers and good works and deeds, his works of righteousness and pilgrimages to Rome, and he talks about it just being like someone was trying to climb a ladder, somehow trying to get to heaven. But as they got to the top of the ladder, and some people could get to a higher ladder than others, but everyone, if they get to the top of the ladder, found out they were still a million miles away from heaven. Yeah. But secondly, he talked about this righteousness of God that's found in Jesus Christ, that when it was already accomplished, that it was accomplished when he died on the cross for our sins and he rose again from the dead, and that we don't have to have a righteousness of our own self, but it's a righteousness that comes just simply by faith in the accomplished work of Christ. And when we reach up to God with empty hands and a heart filled with faith, we can receive the gift of righteousness that comes from God. You and I have heard people say that they think that they can achieve heaven by their own merits and their own good deeds. But the truth is that we are all human beings are helpless and unable to get to heaven by their own merits. We were all mesmerized as a human population on this planet 9 years ago. Remember in Chile when those 33 miners were trapped deep, deep, deep in that mine under the earth for 69 days. Do you know a billion people on this planet watched that drama play out as we sought to send a shaft down to somehow rescue those trapped miners from certain death and imminent doom? And remember the way we rejoiced when that last miner finally reached the surface? We were all shouting because we were all joy, filled with joy. A world rejoice. But have you considered what the plight was like for those miners? What if you would have been one of those miners trapped there in that pit? And you see, we all of us were in bondage. Every one of us. We were trapped, if you will, with no source of rescue, no way to escape from the bondage and the pit of sin and death. And without help from above, not one of us could escape. We were worse off in our sins than the miners were under the earth. You see, Romans 5 says this. You see that just at the right time, when we were still powerless, trapped, if you will, Christ died for the ungodly while we were still sinners, every one of us trapped in sin. Christ died for us. So let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you were reminded of your own lostness before Christ? Remember Sunday's sermon, Pastor Aaron kind of used the lyrics of O Holy Night, and he talked to us. His first point was in sin and ever pining. Yeah, that's where we all were. We were in sin and ever pining like that helpless miner, lost and trapped deep down in the pit of the earth in the darkness, waiting for somehow a Savior to come and rescue them. And perhaps you've never taken the chance to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Tonight is an excellent opportunity for you to do that, to take that opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life, to save you from your sins and forgive you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Think of all the people that you know that are trapped, and some of them They don't even realize that they're trapped. God loved the whole world so much that he gave us the unique gift of salvation to the lost and the helpless. You see, the gift of salvation is for all people. God's gift was found laying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths in a city called Bethlehem. And today that same gift of salvation can be found in simply praying a sincere prayer from a humble heart to God. If we receive it, then Jesus Christ will come and he will do a new work in our lives. God's demonstrated the message of salvation very well. Some called it a miracle when the 33 miners came out of that shaft. But what a greater miracle when God sent his son into our world so that we could escape from hell and be rescued to heaven. Wow. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Father, you sent the unique gift and the needed, most needed gift that we all so desperately want and need. And that is a way to have our sins forgiven and a way to have a relationship with the God who created us. So, Lord, we come this Christmas Eve as we ponder the gift of God coming into our world. And, Lord, we ask that the gift of your Son would be born in each one of our hearts tonight. Lord, that you would set our hearts aflame, that we would feel the joy and the thrill of hope that those shepherds had on the first Christmas morning, that we would praise you and worship you like the angels. Lord, we thank you for the love of God demonstrated in the sending of his Son to us. In Jesus' name, amen.